welcome to Empower, my power, your power, our power. Ever wondered what it's like to have a booming career in finance while also being one of the most sought after male influencers of the country? Well, our guest for today is none other than an investment banker and a luxury lifestyle influencer whose lifestyle has amassed him thousands and thousands of followers on social media, making him an Instagram star. Delighted to have Rizwan Bachao with us today, who will be sharing with us all things fitness, finance, and how to lead a fabulous life. Everything we love on Empower. A quick look at his achievements so far. Rizwan is a prominent voice in the luxury and men's lifestyle domain. He has been recognized in 2022 as an Influencer of the Year by Parcours and Luxury Influencer of the Year by Exhibit Magazine. He has also represented the industry at global events, has been a key speaker at relevant forums and a commentator on trends and at significant media engagements. I'm sure this is just the tip of the iceberg. We tried to introduce him as quickly as possible. So without any further ado, I will let the man speak for himself. Let's find out more about Rizwan from Rizwan and how he does it all. Welcome, Rizwan.
Thank you, Meenakshi, for having me over, and thank you for such a wonderful introduction.
No, it's everything about you, and it's all facts, and it's all your lovely achievements.
No, I think this was wonderful. It's already sort of made me completely charged up for this
episode. Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah. You're the star of the evening, honestly. So tell me, Rizwan, you've had an interesting journey so far with a career in investment banking. What made you want to become a luxury and lifestyle influencer?
You know, so very frankly, it was never planned. The only thing that made me get into this was my passion for all things luxury. Yes. So when I got into banking and, you know, a few years into banking, when I could start to buy things, afford things, I could sort of... you know, live my passion, all the things that I, you know, dreamt about as a kid. I was passionate about watches, cars. So I started talking about things on social media. That time social media was pretty new. Instagram was probably just like 1 year.
How many years ago was it?
This was, I'm talking about 2011.
Okay, nice.
So I was just posting randomly about a new watch that I purchased.
Yeah, things that you loved.
Yeah, so yeah. It was just about, you know, documenting what, you know, I'm doing in a picture format, because I was not very good with words.
Okay.
So I said, you know, this is easy. I can just click a picture and post it and tell people that, you know, this is something I've recently purchased, or this is something I'm interested in.
Right.
So, you know, create stories in form of pictures, because that time it was only pictures.
Right.
And somehow it led to people noticing me, probably because of my social circle. And like I said, the early starter advantage. So that's how I got into it. It was never planned. It was very sort of impromptu,
organic. Yeah,
and then
yeah.
When brands started
contacting,
you know, recognizing social media as a platform where they could also, you know, advertise stuff, they could maybe engage with influencers. And that's when I got pulled into a lot of other things, which I think was wonderful, but never planned. but the early starter advantage helped, and my passion for luxury obviously was...
And here we are today. He's one of the best, and he's so humble and dapper, as you can see.
Thank you again. I think you're making me smile.
No, that's the idea, right? So tell me, how do you find the balance, Rizwan, between a demanding career in finance while creating content for thousands, hundreds of thousands of followers, shall I say?
Yes, again, I think the whole being organic part helps. Like I said, it started where people started getting inspired in some way or the other, you know, whether it's running or me traveling to, say, 5 countries in a year, planning my itineraries. These kind of things, you know, people started reaching out to me, and, you know, they started asking me that, how do you do it? And I said, you know, this is something I'm enjoying.
So right.
I'm sort of ready to go that extra mile, you know, go for that early morning run at 5 a.m. before I start working, or plan my vacations in a way that, you know, if I have one long weekend, I'll make the most of it.
Yeah, like
even if it's hectic.
Participate in a marathon.
Yeah,
like,
so even if it's hectic, I'll make that 2-day trip to a country where I really want to do something. So these kind of things, I think it's all your passion, right? So when it's organic, you don't have to put too much effort in creating content, and people relate to you.
Right.
So you're not faking anything, and I think that's how it started. I started building up on it. Obviously now, you have to shoot things in a certain way at certain times when, you know, brands are involved. So again, that is something I'm learning constantly. But I've picked it up from the whole fact that, you know, I only talk about things that I relate to or
yes.
relate with, and keep it organic as much as possible, so that even your audience can sort of see that, you know, this is a real person talking about his
yeah.
real lifestyle.
And things you love and things you experience, and that it's something that's what you will actually endorse, you know?
Yes. So
that's where the authenticity
So that's what
comes
I try
in.
To do, you know, keep
yes.
it as organic as possible, so that it doesn't take too much effort for me to go out there and talk about things and yet sort of connect with my audience.
Yes, I know when people tell me, how do you do this every day? How do you get ready? And I tell them I love it.
I love it, yeah.
Because I anyway used to get ready and go out.
So interesting, right? Because banking, when I started working for this firm, I used to love dressing up. So every day I had a new tie on me and
yeah.
a new white shirt. And that became a thing. I loved dressing up. So
Correct.
People in office also started looking up to me, saying that, you know, how do you have the energy to dress up at, you know,
right.
8 in the morning?
But it's effortless. It's a part of your
and
personality,
this is
right?
This is pre-social media. There's,
right.
there was no Instagram. There's Facebook, obviously. But
right.
we never used to post on Facebook. But this is more like a thing that made me happy at the, you know, start
yes.
of the day, where I wanted to dress up.
Yeah, so on the flip side, sometimes people tell me, oh, are you in the country or are you traveling? You're always traveling. I'm like, you know, I always traveled. It's just that you see it more now on Instagram.
Exactly.
You know, at Facebook.
I can relate to that
because
yeah. I get that all the time.
Yes.
Except, you know, some of my trips, I keep creating a bank of pictures and videos which I can make people envious of me later.
No, too funny. We do, even though we don't want to. We actually want to just share our beautiful memories
yes.
or places we've explored, and it just happens.
And sometimes you're missing your destination too much, right? So
Correct.
The only way to sort of talk about it is, you know, okay, let's post on social media.
Throwback.
Major missing, you know.
Yeah.
Right? Just add a little bit drama to it.
Yes, I love it. Okay, so Rizwan, the male influencer industry is booming with content creators covering a wide range of subjects. How do you plan your content? On the fly? Is it organized in a planned approach? Or what is your favorite and what is your favorite content to shoot about?
Okay, so I think it's a combination of both, on the fly and sometimes it's planned.
Right.
Now, on the fly, things are, you know, me going for a run.
Right.
At 5 in the morning.
Right? I don't know how he does it.
Yeah.
You do banking and your content creation and events, and then you're also
So that's
into
content
sports.
For me, right? Every time I'm out for a run, I'll post about it.
Right.
Because that is something, again, I like talking about. And in the past, a lot of people have gotten inspired. They've started running. They've approached me on, you know, how to start running. And interestingly, running was the first association I had on social media.
Oh, okay.
It was through a sports brand, Adidas.
Fantastic.
So, you know, it's very sort of close to my heart still, because,
yes.
you know, I feel that this is what got me my identity on social media.
Right.
So, you know, these kind of things, like I mentioned, right, I'm dressing up at work, I'm wearing a new tie. So,
yeah.
easy content for me, you know, I'm driving and I'm stuck in traffic, I'll
right.
do a selfie, and so, you know,
yes.
wearing a new tie, wearing new eyewear. So all those things are on the fly, but yet they work, they connect, I mean, people are able to connect with me. The planned things are more to do with, like you said, there are so many content creators now, there's always pressure to keep creating stuff
right.
outside of the organic stuff that you're doing. But sometimes I plan things. I, you know, call my videographer, you know, we need to do something cool. Let's decide on a theme. Let's do something which has to do with, say, how to create 3 looks
right.
For maybe going to a, you know, event
beach.
Or, you know, how to create 3 workwear looks.
Yeah.
Things like that are planned.
I'm
but I
beach destination. Look at me. Okay.
Beach destination also. But yeah, I think that's always... again, that's on the fly.
Right.
I don't need to think about that.
So it's 50-50.
It's
50-50. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
But it's more on the fly, I would say.
So what's your favorite content to shoot? Is there a particular thing? Like, you did mention your mornings
yes.
or...
My favorite content to shoot is car-related stuff.
Oh,
I love
nice.
Driving. So every time I, you know, get to associate with a car brand, or even for that matter, you know, shoot in my own car.
Right.
Or whether it's a road trip, whether it's... testing, and I wouldn't say testing, I'm not an expert on cars, but when you get to experience something which has just launched, I love creating car related content. That's my favorite content to shoot.
Okay, nice. Okay, tell me, what are the resources and tools you use or invest in?
So nothing specific,
right.
you know, just from a social media perspective, but I like collecting things. So I'm building a watch collection for the last 15 years.
Fantastic.
I'm building a, you know, collection of jackets for the last 15 years.
Okay.
So things like that, you know, I invest in from a long-term perspective. And I see all of that paying off now, you know. So
right.
whenever I'm shooting for something, or whenever I'm out for an event.
Yes.
I don't really need to think that, you know, where do I get this from?
Yes,
where do I
I'm
get
the
that
same.
from? I like to own things, and I am a collector of fine things, if I may say that.
Yes.
And that collection is building, the category is expanding. So in terms of resources, at least, I don't plan them. Most of the time I have access to my own sort of wardrobe to shoot.
Yes.
And I think luckily, because the industry has been kind enough to accept, you know, us as content creators, they approach us sometimes that, you know, if you would like to source something for your shoot. So again, that database is on the side. You know, if I have to reach to some friend who's a designer, I, you know, don't
just reach out.
If it's an event that will make sense to their designs or their collection, I reach out without hesitation. So I think it's a combination of both again, you know, your own
resources,
your own collection plus your own contacts. So,
And what I love is that that's where your personality shows. You know, like, I loved the jacket. Like, when I saw what he's wearing, I actually decided to wear something else. Because I was like, you know, I have to match you and I have to match up to your style. And I think I'm pretty stylish, so imagine.
You look amazing.
So it's great to know that you're actually putting in the personal touch. And also, at the same time, what is current, what is trending, or you're supporting friends who are designers. And it's a combination of everything. Right, and that's where the personal style comes in.
Absolutely, I think, and that's when you. I mean, I keep repeating this, but that's when people can relate to you.
Yes.
You know, if you're portraying your own style out there,
yes,
and brands understand that you know, you have a certain style, and this is how they want their sort of product to be sort of placed on your social media platform. So I think it's a win-win situation for both of us.
And also, I see the knowledge and experience of him being an investment banker. And then being a content creator come in, or a luxury lifestyle lover, because like you said, you're building your wardrobe. You know, there are so many times we are putting out content to tell people how to, or at least with my podcast, I do that a lot. Like, I've done podcasts where I've done like shopping tips, you know, Diwali shopping tips, tips to, you know, what to buy abroad, what to buy in India, what to invest in, you know, whether it's jewelry for women, whether it's watches, you know, so these are great tips. And you can... The fun part is you can combine your, you know, love for fashion, and you can make sensible investments which grow in value. I mean, today handbags have grown in value. Forget watches.
Absolutely.
So these are great investments that you build your capsule collection, or you build your collection, wardrobe collection over the years, and how it's not just frivolous shopping anymore, right?
True. And the knowledge part, like you said, you know, it's also constant knowledge, you know, upgrading your own knowledge about things that you're passionate about. So if tomorrow I have to buy a new watch, I'll maybe, you know, go into the history and research about it.
Yeah.
I'll sometimes travel to a country where I'll, you know, see that, okay, this is where some things originate from.
Right.
You know, learn more about maybe a whiskey or a watch.
Right.
So those kind of things have to be, you know, some sort of investments which you make.
Yes.
In terms of, you know, upgrading your knowledge about things that you're passionate about. So I think all that helps in the long term, you know. So when you're having a conversation with someone, you know, they know that you're just not another person posting pictures.
Absolutely.
You're much beyond that.
Yes. And that's why we have you here. Because we wanted to get to know a person behind the influencer, and also to inspire so many followers and people who want to get into this kind of work. But how important it is to not just look good or feel good or have confidence, but there's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of research. There's years and years of experience that goes behind it. And how it's like, you know, onwards and upwards, as we say. But how every little counts. You know, your knowledge, your experience, your passions.
It doesn't. You know? When you're picking up luxury as a niche,
yeah,
you know, that is where the experience counts even more, you know. So, I mean, you know it better than I do.
No, we both do.
Yeah, because
course.
you grow bigger and bigger the more sort of, you know, knowledge you have about things. And
absolutely.
The more you start investing in things.
Right.
So, you know, a 20-year-old might not make sense to a luxury brand.
Right.
Experience is what counts, I think, when it comes to luxury.
Okay, great. Fantastic. Well put. So tell me, what advice would you give to anyone who wants to start their career in content creation? Is there a timeline or shelf life to this career option? Is it a smart decision for someone to give up their full-time, you know, job to pursue a career in the influencer industry?
So I wouldn't advise someone to give up their full-time job to become a content creator. Unless they have a solid plan that, you know, this will pay off.
Right.
Or this will pay their bills in the first place. I always advise people that, you know, if you're passionate about something, start talking about it on the side.
Okay.
It'll be extra effort to, you know, do things on the weekends, explore.
Yeah, or after work.
After work, you know, go for that shoot.
Yeah.
do it at 5 in the morning. So you have to go that extra mile. The hustle obviously is real when it comes to managing two professions. But my advice to everyone is to not give up their full-time job unless and until you're very sure about where this industry is leading. You know, not only the industry, but you know, social media platforms for that matter. You never know.
Absolutely.
You know, with so much happening these days, with
so many
Meta
changes.
Losing like billions of dollars, Twitter going haywire.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yes.
So build something which is also, you know, to do with real world rather than just being an online creator.
Yes.
But again, you know, there are examples of people who've done phenomenally well.
Right.
Whether it's gamers, I think a lot of stand-up comedians, generally social media content creators who do a lot of these funny memes, etc.
Right. YouTubers. I mean, there's
so
much happening.
So for them, I think it's still sort of a full-time job to create content because there's a lot of, again, creative process involved in terms of writing scripts, etc., etc. But again, I think that leads to entertainment in a way.
And also that
so they get picked up.
Time,
they get picked
up
by, you know,
a
TV show or an OTT platform.
Correct.
So for them, that is sort of a, you know, next step.
Yes.
But for someone who's talking about fashion, luxury, other things that are not to do with, you know, being creators in a way, I think you should always have a backup.
Right. Okay, good tip.
Yeah.
Especially to all the students out there.
I think also would advise people that pick a niche and stick to it.
Correct.
You can't just keep
wavering,
you know, shuffling between categories.
Absolutely. So Rizwan, now to the fun bits. You are affiliated to some amazing brands like BMW, Gucci, Burberry. You've worked with Dior, Estee Lauder. When did the content creation become a business for you? How did the transition begin? And when did you plan on monetizing your content?
So,
or was it just like a fluid thing that just one thing led to another?
So again, like I said, 2016 is when I started running for Adidas. And that was like a fun association, right? They were building a community in Bombay and they said, you know, you're already running, you're already posting on social media about your journey as a runner. So, you know, why don't we associate on something where, you know, we can add value to each other? And I said, you know, I grew up as someone who wanted to become a sports person. And this is, you know, like a dream collaboration that I could, you know, wish for. And this happened very accidentally for me. So that's how it started for me. And soon I started realizing there's potential out here in terms of, see, monetizing is not something which is very sort of important for me because I have a full-time job. But for me, it was more important to be selective.
Right.
I said, you know, I see potential because there's no one doing luxury in India, which is purely, you know, being in that category. There were people who were doing it, but I didn't see someone who had created a niche for himself, at least in the male
influencers
category.
Space,
so I saw some scope out there. I said, you know, let's try and be selective. Let's only work with brands who make sense to, you know, my personality or my lifestyle. And that's how things started picking up. So 2016 is when I started. 2017 was, I think, when I got my first association with BMW. But I would say 2020 was when most brands started opening up to digital. I mean, due to multiple reasons, lockdown, digital, then, you know, taking the front seat. And that's when I think all the hard work that I did in the last 3-4 years helped me sort of, you know, collaborate.
Yeah, there was
a
big boom then, you know.
There was a big boom of creators who understood the space.
I started in the lockdown. I became an influencer.
See, a lot of people became comfortable in front of the camera, right? Because
absolutely.
We had maybe, you know, nothing else to do.
Absolutely, a lot of time.
It was a major distraction, I would say. But I'm glad a lot of real creators like yourself came out.
Right.
So that gap was filled in a way.
Yes, thank you.
And which is why a lot of brands started, you know, adopting social media or digital because now they saw quality. You know, earlier it was still 50-50 in terms of where is this heading.
Absolutely.
But I think the quality improved, I think, after the lockdown in terms of the creators, the kind of people who started, you know.
Also, don't you think brands started realizing that this is a more real and serious space for buyers and consumers to look at and realize that these are real people buying things? It's not just a model who's trying to promote a dress or a bag or a shoe. They were like, okay, these are people who are actually saying, oh, guess what? I bought this and it's amazing, you know, and this is the cream that I tried. And especially, you know, the 1.5 year that people were stuck at home on and off. They had to do a lot of things online and do things on their own.
True.
So whether it was a hair product or whether it was you know, anything.
Whether it was mass or luxury, I think everyone sort of found their anchors on social media.
Yes.
See, I mean, because we're talking specifically about luxury today, you know how you know, filtered the list is.
Correct.
But even that, in that filtered list, people found their creators, the brands found their creators who could add value to their brands.
And also who they resonated with.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think the wonderful part is sometimes you're doing campaigns with global creators, you know, at the same time. The approvals come from global teams. So I think that's also a matter of pride in terms of, you know,
absolutely.
How this has shaped up.
Right. So any favorites in the kind of work you do?
Any favorites? You mean in terms of brands or?
Yes, in terms of people you've worked with or brands you've worked with.
So I think you mentioned most of them. But again, you know, loyalty is something I've tried creating in categories.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm working with, say, BMW, which is very close to my heart. It's
right.
been like 5-6 years of working with them. I've traveled to Berlin with them. I've run a couple of marathons for them.
Fantastic. Okay.
Because BMW does the Berlin marathon. So for me, you know, that's also a matter of pride to, you know, go and participate in that
Absolutely.
Event. Drive on the Autobahn. So, you know, that also sort of gives me some sort of loyalty towards
mm-hmm.
the brand. So I would say no to any other brand who falls in that category.
Okay.
So, you know, that's out of personal choice. BMW is one brand. You mentioned Dior, which is again very close to my heart because I love, you know, their menswear.
Right.
I mean, they're known for their menswear, but I think it's, again, one brand I'm sort of very proud to be associated with.
Right.
Burberry, I think, was one of the first luxury brands I started working with. So, you know, I give it to them for recognizing me when things were still not, you know, I mean, that big.
So loyal to the core, as we say.
Loyal to the core.
Yes.
When it comes to beauty, Estee Lauder obviously has been my go-to.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they literally sort of...
Yeah, that is one of the first few brands that even I work
Yeah, and
with.
For me, male beauty has started very recently, like 2.5 years back.
Right.
So I was glad that, you know, I was a part of, you know, their sort of KOL list.
Right. Okay. So tell me, what are the challenges you feel of managing an influencer career?
Mm-hmm.
And privacy and protection, what jobs do you say no to? Is that challenging in any way?
So privacy is not challenging anymore. I think earlier I was concerned when I started posting on social media. There was a lot of impersonation. There was a lot of, you know, people copying your pictures, scamming people.
Right.
Because there were so many pages who used to copy my
car. Spam accounts.
They used to copy my car pictures and then fool people that, you know, this is me and I can, you know, help you make money through some online courses. And people used to fall for that because they used to think that
it's you promoting.
It's me,
yeah.
Through a different name because those people didn't know me. So those kind of things were really concerning at one point. But somehow, I mean, you understand that social media comes with its own pros and cons. So, I mean, I still am very sort of concerned about these things. If, you know, I see my picture being used somewhere.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So those kind of things, I think you have to be still very careful about.
Right.
But in terms of the first question that you asked was...
I was saying that what are the challenges of managing an influencer career according to
you? I think the challenges are mostly to do with managing expectations of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after a point, you know, the organic stuff is fine, but when brands start approaching you with a mood board, that's when the challenges arise because...
Yeah.
I mean, okay, this has to be... This has to be shot in a certain way. This has to be delivered by, you know, in the next 2 days.
So the funniest is when they call you and say, can you give us this reel by tomorrow morning? And you're like,
yeah, I have one brand right now asking that we want pictures by tomorrow morning. I said, you just called me. So,
yeah, exactly. I love how they just assume
sometimes these are brands who you don't want to say no to.
Absolutely. It's
so, you know,
tricky.
That's where the challenge is, right? That, okay, you know, how am I going to manage this tomorrow morning, you know, before work or...
Hello, you're a man. Imagine a woman with the hair and the makeup and everything.
Yeah, so I think you guys are...
Yeah,
completely
exactly.
Inspirational with how you, you know, I don't understand how do you guys shoot outdoors because you're doing 5 looks outdoors, probably, you know, makeshift arrangements in the car to change, etc. So that's really sort of
empower.
Yes. No, I'm impressed by all the women creators all across the globe because I think they are the real creators. They are the OGs, and we learn from you guys. So.
No, how sweet. Thank you. So, any do's or don'ts according to you? Message for our lovely listeners.
I think do's, like I mentioned earlier, you know, create a niche for yourself and stick to it. It might take a little time to build on it, but start building on things that you are absolutely passionate about. And I think that will, I'm sure, lead to, you know, something wonderful in the digital space because it's still growing.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel that, you know, we are just getting started here.
Right.
So next 5 years are going to be critical. And if you have something that you're really passionate about, talk about it.
Yeah.
And don't feel shy about documenting things. Yeah, if privacy is a problem, that is a personal choice.
Absolutely.
But if you're someone who's okay to post in public, I think just go for it. Talk about anything. Don't feel shy about people judging you or people, you know, saying things that, you know, how could you do this? How could you post this? Just go for it, because 5 years later, they'll be the one who'll sort of start respecting you. Try to be someone you're not. So don't try to copy people and, you know, try to create an identity which is similar to someone who's already in the space or someone who's already doing well. I mean, get inspired by them, but don't...
Yeah, I was just going to say that there's a difference between being inspired and there's a difference between just trying to imitate. And
yeah, because if you imitate, then you won't go a long way.
Yeah, exactly.
You won't have an identity and, you know, people just call you a first copy of someone who's already there.
Right.
So I think that's a major don't, that try to be as original as possible. Getting inspired is obviously very important, but there's a lot of scope and a lot of freedom in terms of, you know, being creative. So I think just be who you are.
Yeah. So tell me, Rizwan, if you had to do it again, what would you do differently?
You know, it's been so wonderful, this journey, and I'm sort of thankful to a lot of people who've supported me, brands, followers. So I don't think so I would be doing anything different.
Right.
This happened, like I said, accidentally. There's never planned. So I'm pretty thankful to everyone who's supported me in this journey so far, and I think I'm pretty happy with, you know, what I am right now. So
well, that's very sweet and humble of you, and very zen. I mean, honestly, yeah, otherwise everyone's always saying, oh, I could have done this better, or this is what I should have. So nice to hear that. How do you keep yourself motivated, and what have you learned in the journey so far? I would like to kind of sum it up by just gaining from all the experience that you have and listening to what you would like to share for all of us to know, what do you think your journey has taught you so far?
I think the major motivation factor, like I mentioned, is, you know, people who don't even know you follow your journey. They are kind enough to, you know, comment on things, message you that, you know, hey, you know, you did this and it's really inspiring. People from all corners of the world, right? I mean, there are sometimes people who are following you from countries you don't even know.
Absolutely.
So that is what motivates me. You know, so if tomorrow I'm running a marathon and I post about that finish line picture or the medal, there are 500 people who are commenting on the picture saying that, you know, congratulations, well done.
Yes.
Inspiring. We are going to start a running journey tomorrow. So I think that is...
And that inspires us to do more,
absolutely,
right?
Because if there's no one looking at you or no one listening to you or no one interacting with you, then I would probably give up social media. This is something that absolutely motivates me. So if people say you do it for the gram, I said, yeah, I do it for the gram. But there are, you know, at least those followers who...
Yes. How many now?
About 123k.
That's
but,
amazing.
Yeah, still trying to
create.
You have
more than 100,000 followers. That's very, very commendable, honestly. So, yeah, I mean, any last word, anything you'd like to tell us before we let you go? Thank you so much for taking out so much time for this. But any last words for all the lovely listeners, all our followers?
No, I would say thank you for having me on this podcast.
No, of course.
Or do you call it podcast, or do you call it...
Yes,
like,
podcast.
It's a podcast, right? Yeah.
Yes. I love how he's asking this at the end of it.
No, I'm just saying that, can we do this again?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, you can maybe ask the question again.
No, don't worry.
Yeah.
Just the last bit we can do, right? Are you comfortable? It's towards the end.
No, I was just saying, do you call it Empower or you call it podcast?
No,
that's,
so
that's
on, I can... sometimes I mention the name, sometimes
I
don't, so it doesn't matter.
Okay,
chalo, we'll do it. So what did I ask? This was just a random... So,
any last words?
Okay, yeah. So Rizwan, before we let you go, thank you so much for being here. And any last words that you would like to share with all of us, with your lovely listeners, with our lovely listeners and followers?
First of all, thank you for having me on this podcast. I think I'm really grateful to you. I've not done something like this before.
Okay,
so you're the first
you.
Person I'm doing this with. And I'm glad it's you because I get to learn a lot from you. But other than that, I think to everyone who's listening out there, right, it's always teamwork. So what you see on social media is not just one person doing things. There's always a team behind people.
Right.
And, invest in a good team. Be nice to people. Collaborate with others whenever you can, because being a creator is not easy. You have to build a community. Also, invest in real-world communities. Build communities whenever you can. Things you're passionate about, whether it's fitness, whether it's luxury, whether it's travel, because community is what, you know, will take you to a distance. So yeah, I think that's my key tip to everyone.
Yes.
Build communities.
Yes. And of course, you always have your friends and family to back.
Absolutely.
You know, to fall back on.
That's like...
your main supporters.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Rizwan. That brings us to the end of today's episode with the most inspiring guest, Rizwan Bachab. I anyway liked him and now I'm really, really inspired and I look up to him even more.
It's a mutual admiration club.
No, thank you so much for sharing, especially opening up about all your experiences, all the hard work and about how things work in this industry, because a lot of people are not so sharing, but here you are. And like I keep saying in a lot of things, sharing is caring. Okay, so thank you, Rizwan, and thank you, my lovely listeners on Empower, for tuning in. Don't forget to catch up on all the podcast related content and some additional fun sessions, be it engaging videos, delightful pictures, some more stuff with Rizwan coming up, and all of it specially curated for you on my Instagram and Facebook, Meenakshi Kuwadekar. And feel free to email me anytime on empowerbymeenakshi@gmail.com. And until then, as always, keep shining, keep smiling. Have a safe and fantastic week, everyone, and don't forget to own it.